Paul Ramel here in the studios, and once again, it's Severe Weather Awareness Week. And this afternoon, we're going to visit with Don Biergon. Don is the, make sure I get this right, Don, Emergency Preparedness Coordinator for Countryside Public Health, right?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming in the studio.
Yes, thanks for having me.
So how long have you been with Countryside Public Health?
So I have been with Countryside Public Health. It's going on. I've been there about 2.5 years now. So.
That's right. You started when the pandemic started.
Pretty much. Yes. Yep. I was able to start with before Gloria Tobias had retired. I got to work with her for a couple of months before we dove into COVID. Yep. So it's been pretty COVID focused since then.
Yeah. But. You've been thrown into fire.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, I've asked Don to come into the studio to talk a little bit about what the Countryside Public Health does as far as disasters and preparing for emergencies, since it is Severe Weather Awareness Week. And, you know, God forbid, we don't want a tornado hit any
right.
community. But you always got to be prepared, right?
Correct. Yep.
So, yeah, let's just talk a little bit about who do you work with in the counties when making plans for emergencies, Dawn?
Sure, yeah. So Countryside Public Health has a great relationship with a lot of our partners within our five counties. We cover the five counties of Big Stone, Chippewa, Lac Parle, Yellow Medicine, and Swift. And so we work with each county has an emergency manager. We have hospitals and clinics within our five counties that we work with, city and county officials, administrators, and different departments, whether it's highway, public works, those types of entities, law enforcement, first responders, fire, EMS, even as far as our schools and churches. So lots of different people go into the emergency preparedness planning.
Yep. So how often do you have meetings with all these people, or is it throughout the year? Or
yeah, it kind of varies. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Throughout COVID, we probably met a lot more often, even just to keep everybody up to date as to what was going on.
Sure.
Within Lac Parle County specifically, I have been a part of kind of those partner meetings on a quarterly basis. Blaine Johnson and I work pretty closely together as he's our emergency manager. And so we get those groups together and try to meet on a quarterly basis to kind of go over various different things.
Yep. It's good to know that people in the background are coming up with a plan.
Yes.
Because
yes.
when an emergency does happen, you have to have a plan.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Yep. Yep.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Do you do type of drills then? Blaine talked about this on Monday a little bit, but
yeah. So we do with how COVID's been affecting us the last couple of years, we haven't done as many drills as we would like to, but in fact we are planning on doing one with the city of Madison here in a couple of weeks. Just what we call it's a tabletop exercise. So that's literally where we get around a group of tables, the different partners get together, throw out a scenario, whether it be maybe a windstorm like we experienced several years back.
Yep, I remember that one. Yes. I know which one you're talking about.
Yes, that was pretty significant. And so sit down as partners and go through, okay, if this happened, what would we do and who would be involved and what roles would everybody have?
And this was on the news last week. Minneapolis came up, they reviewed their, you know.
Sure, yep.
When the riots and stuff were happening.
Yep.
All the different issues that came up, the lot of lack of communication and stuff.
Right, so, yep. Yep.
You want to make sure you're communicating well with the right people, right?
Yep, yep. And emergency preparedness, not even with, not only even with a, you know, a severe weather event, it could be just a large event that's going to occur. For example, yeah, Minneapolis is going to have the Final Four championship this weekend. There's a lot of planning that goes around with that, too.
Right.
Just making sure if something would come up. So, yeah.
Right. Switch gears a little bit. Kind of give an example. What happened if a tornado strikes Madison, let's say? So how would Countryside be involved with that emergency? Can
sure.
you talk about that a little
yeah.
bit?
Yeah. Yep. That's a good question. And two, it sometimes is definitely event specific, depending on how much of the town is maybe affected. You know, is it wiping out a good chunk of the town? Is it maybe only affecting a certain portion of it? Is it affecting our hospital? That's usually a big question too, because then if there's anybody hurt, you know, is the hospital able to take on anybody who's hurt, that kind of thing. So some of the roles that Countryside would play, a big one is volunteer management. We do have a volunteer program through Minnesota Responds, where anybody can sign up for that program. Oh. And in the event of an emergency, whether we need additional healthcare workers or even office, you know, secretaries or just people who are able to kind of direct people. It's open to anybody to sign up for this program. And so we can utilize that. Also in this type of situation, a family assistance center may be important to have where, like I said, maybe a portion of the town is affected. And we work to set up a safe location where maybe families can reunite with their loved ones, or if they are needing some help, maybe their house was destroyed and they need to go somewhere safe until they can get what they need. We'd work with them, work with Family Services, okay. Red Cross, that kind of thing.
I remember many years ago when Gloria was sitting where you're sitting there, we were visiting, and she said, "Don't rely on your cell phones."
Yes.
In an emergency.
Yep.
Because they might not work.
Correct. Yep.
So,
yeah.
Have something that your loved ones or coworkers know. You have a plan, right?
Yes. Correct. Yep. Yep.
So don't rely on your cell phones. Everybody, you know how we rely on our cell phones, right?
Right. Yep. Yep.
So switch gears again a little bit, Dawn. Let's talk about how to prepare for an emergency, I guess, with your family. Can we talk about that a little
sure,
bit?
Sure, yeah. Yep. It is always good to, in the event that there could be an emergency, whether it be a fire, a severe weather, that type of thing, it's always good to have a plan in place. A good spot that I like to direct people to is ready.gov. It's a good website that provides a lot of really great resources for people. And just making sure that you've got kind of those essential needs that you would maybe need to have in the event that maybe you lose power or you need kind of that basics, whether it be food, medications, kind of some supplies to get you by for a few days. And then just working with your family, reviewing that plan, practicing that plan. People that maybe have smaller children, that can sometimes be a worry for little kids. In an emergency, they may be scared. So it's good. Kids like to know what's going on. And so just letting them know of what potential emergencies could occur, be honest with them and just talk through that with them and just let them know that it's okay to be scared, but there's ways that we can stay safe and just let them be a part of that plan.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's important to talk as a family where
correct.
To go when things like a tornado would happen or electrical down power lines or whatever, what to do there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember a TV story a while back down south. Someone's house was just obliterated with a tornado, and the people survived it, but they didn't have any shoes on.
Yeah,
and
yep.
they didn't know where their shoes were, and they're walking around in this rubble without shoes. And I remember that lady talking about that.
Yeah.
And
yep.
So that's important. Have a pair of shoes.
Right.
Because
right.
most of us, I guess, when we're in our home, we don't wear shoes.
No, so, not usually.
Yep.
No.
So there's nope. something to think about,
I suppose,
huh?
Yeah. But yeah, that website, the ready.gov, has some really good resources that you can use. Oh. I know at public Countryside Public Health, our offices, we've got little booklets too that if people are interested in kind of a template, even just to kind of go over some basic things to have on hand, you know, whether it's a battery operated radio, so you know what's going on, and
yep.
I know there's ways of getting that information. Even if the power goes out, there's ways right. we can still yep. transmit information. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I know tomorrow, today's tornadoes. We yep. Maynard talked about that a little bit earlier. But let's talk about tomorrow's heat.
Correct. Yes. Yep.
And that's going to be coming up.
Yes, as much as we have been wanting yep. it to show
warm
up.
Weather.
Right.
Well, Stan Olson was in earlier this week with our interview with Stan. And last year, between June, I think he said 7th or the 3rd, June 3rd through the 13th, we were 95 degrees and higher
yeah.
for like 7-8 days in a row.
Yeah, yep. And
so
I think
that can be dangerous.
It can be, so. Yeah, yep. So during kind of those heat waves, yeah, I feel like in Minnesota, we kind of, in the spring, we kind of go from 0 to 60 pretty quick. Yeah. We kind of skip those
yep.
milder days. But yep. yeah, during heat waves, people are at a greater risk for heat exhaustion, heat stroke, that kind of thing. So just some really good tips to keep in mind during those hotter times mm-hmm. is definitely drinking more fluids, trying to avoid alcohol or those higher sugar drinks, because that,
right.
that tends to dehydrate you more. You think you might be, you know, getting those fluids, but sticking to, you know, the waters or those sports drinks
yep.
like Powerade, Gatorade, those kinds of things. And staying in the air-conditioned place during those hotter parts of the day. If you don't have air conditioning or it's not available, try to get to a location where there's shade, good airflow, ventilation, that kind of thing. And make use of public venues or cooling areas. You know, if it's hot, maybe bop over to the library for a little while.
Lydia would like that.
Yes, she would. Yes, yes. Otherwise, if you are outside, wearing lightweight, light-colored, loose-fitting clothing typically will help. And then also we not only for humans, but we also want to be thinking of our pets too, mm-hmm. And making sure that they are getting adequate fluids, and then really making sure to humans or pets, making sure not to leave them in vehicles during that hot weather as well. So
right.
just some things to kind of keep in
yeah.
mind. Yeah.
So it's a little heads up about tomorrow, about
yeah.
heat. So
yeah.
appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, no problem.
Anything else that we maybe should mention while you're here? You got what are some of those websites again? That was interesting.
Sure, yeah. So, like I said, yeah, ready.gov has got.
And what exactly is that?
So it's part of it's a federal website that provides all kinds of different things about different
tips.
Okay. Yep, and there's even some good resources on there that parents can print out for their kids, whether it's coloring activities. Different resources that they can use to visit with their kids about different emergencies. It gives great supply lists for people to kind of think about having stored away, tucked away just in case of an emergency
okay.
as well. So,
all
yeah.
right. And that's ready?
Ready.gov.
G-O-V.
Correct.
All right.
Yep.
Good. All right. Well, Don, we cover everything?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate you coming in and letting our listeners know a little bit about what Countryside Public Health does.
Yeah.
And appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Dawn Biergun. Dawn's the Emergency Preparedness Coordinator. Did I get that right?
Yes.
With Countryside Public Health. And we'll have more tips and more interviews later today and tomorrow here on Q92 during Severe Weather Awareness Week.